We looked yet last week in Luke 1 at Mary, and we're going to kind of pick that up a little bit this week. There was a man, and he bought his wife a diamond for Christmas. Yeah, and a friend of his said, well, I thought your wife wanted one of those new four-wheel drive Jeep, Jeep deals. And he said, that's what she wanted. He said, but if you could figure out how I could buy her a fake Jeep, I'd have got her the Jeep instead of the fake diamond. So picking out Christmas gifts sometimes is interesting. Now, when you get to be, at least in our immediate family, when you get to be in our position, it's a little different, a little easier because, the prescription is, give me a list. What type things do you, and Jacob's list is quite different from Benjamin's and vice versa. Jacob's gadget or something like that, something that can, and Benjamin has a broader list, and Mary Catherine never has a list. I mean, you have to beat her down. What are you, just give me something, baby. And so, but shopping for Christmas gifts, it can be really fun if you know what you're doing, and it can be really hard if you don't. How many of you have ever gone to the mall and wandered around in and out? I don't know what they got. Gift cards are the greatest thing. I just don't know what to get. And we've all been there, and we probably also have all received gifts. And we looked at them, and we weren't even sure what it was when we got it out of the bag. What do I do with this? Yeah. And so picking out gifts is quite interesting. And I want us to think about the God who gives. The purpose of shopping is not just to improve the economy, although that happens. The purpose of shopping is because we care about the person on the other end. Even though sometimes it's difficult to shop, we care about the people on the other end. Or when we make goodies, or whatever we do at Christmas time, it's because we care about the person on the other end. Although some goodies I've received through the years, it was like they didn't care. That's another story altogether. So Luke chapter 1, if you read the email carefully yesterday, I had the scripture all wrong. So if you read Mark 1, it was good reading, but we're not going to study that today. Luke chapter 1 and 2, Jacob read the words that comes after Luke 1 about the birth of Christ. But in Luke 1, we describe Mary. And last week we looked at Mary and her dedication. This young girl, this young teen, this teen who is engaged. And how she went through and followed what God asked her to do. And so we won't look deep into that, but let's just kind of catch up again a little bit. There was the birth announcement we see in verses 26 and through 30. And some key things about that are, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, we see that this took place. God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee. So we know Jesus was a Galilean, and he was from that little town of Nazareth in Galilee. Mary was a virgin, and how important that was that she was a virgin. She was untouched yet by human hands, but yet she was a virgin and she would give birth to Jesus. She was pledged to Joseph, and Joseph was obedient as well. By all rights under Jewish law, when she became pregnant, he could have sent her packing. But and by the way, being engaged in those days was a bond as strong as marriage is in these days. And he could have sent her packing, but when he heard the story, he also believed, obviously, and he kept Mary. So a few things that we see from the Bible, some assertions that I want to mention. Number one, Jesus was fully human. He lived in an ordinary family, and he was human. It was necessary for the human sacrifice that when Jesus came for him to be human. It would not do any good for us to have a sacrifice come that was a heavenly body only. But he came as the second Adam. Adam was born without sin. And we had an interesting discussion Wednesday night on this whole sin thing. And I'll bring it up to you later about exactly when did Lucifer fall and get thrown out of the garden. And it was just an interesting discussion. But Adam came and Adam sinned. So sin entered the human race and he passed it down to everybody. So there needed to be another human come who was able to set the record right. So therefore, Jesus was fully human. He was also fully divine. Now, he was the brother of James, but he was not the son of Joseph. He was fully divine and fully human. He was the second Adam, the one without sin. Adam 1 was created without sin, but sinned. Jesus came also without sin. So here we see he was without sin and he maintained his sinlessness. Another assertion. Mary was a virgin when she was pregnant with Jesus, but she had other children born after that. We see this in Matthew, Mark, and in John we see the brothers of Jesus mentioned. So here we have this woman giving birth to Jesus. Jesus coming as a fully man and fully God being so that he could set the record right. I've often thought, and I mentioned this last week, I'll mention it again, that if Joseph had been the father of Jesus, then Joseph would have gotten a lot of the credit for Jesus. But Joseph got no credit because he was not the biological father of Jesus. So the angel came and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored." And then after the angel told Mary everything that was going to happen, it said Mary was troubled. She was distressed. She was upset in her heart. And she did not know exactly what needed to take place. So I want to mention some gifts God sent to Mary. Number one, the gift of pregnancy was sent to her. And it's an important thing in those days, especially when a young lady, a mother, or a wife becomes pregnant. Pregnancy is a gift of God. Children are a gift of God. You might not always think they are, but they're a gift. They're a blessing from the Lord. She became pregnant. So the first miracle was the pregnancy of Mary. A second gift given to Mary was that she would give birth to a son. How important that was in Jewish tradition. Not only that I was not barren, I would have children, but number two, I will give birth to a son to carry forth the name. In Hebrews chapter 2, we read this. For this reason, he had to be made like his brothers in every way in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest to God, so that he might make atonement for the sins of the people, because he himself suffered when he was tempted. He is able to help those who are being tempted. So we see the gift given to Mary of childbirth, not only childbirth, but also a male child. The third gift was this. He said, the angel said, "You will call his name Jesus." And the name Jesus, anybody know what it stands for in the Hebrew, what name it means? It means, or what the translation is in the Hebrew? It is? Well, it is that. That's the meaning of it. But the name is Joshua, meaning God with us. Or maybe even more directly, God will save us. Jeshua is the way you would pronounce that name. So Jesus is not just a name that is thrown out there. It is the name Joshua. You know, we see it translated into the Greek, Jeshua. Jeshua translated into Jesus. So this name, God is with us, which is Emmanuel, and God is the God of salvation. So we see this Jehovah salvation come. Now, many kids were named Jesus in those days because many mothers had children, and they said, if I name him Jesus, maybe he'll be the Messiah. They had to order reversed a little bit because they were thinking biological kid, Messiah. Biological kid could not be the Messiah, at least biological from the Father. So we see that Mary was given the gift of pregnancy. She was given the gift of a son and instructed to call his name Jeshua, Joshua, or Jesus, as we know that. We see in Matthew chapter 1, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus because he saves people from their sins. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Now, that is a fundamental bedrock principle, a key in Scripture. Jesus did not come to perform miracles. The performing miracles was to be as a sign about the place from which he came. He did not come into the world to bring peace to the world. By leading people out of their sin, there will be peace. He came to the world to save sinners. And all these other things come along with that, saving sinners. Bill Gaither wrote a song years ago. You may have heard it. I won't sing it. By the way, next Sunday, somebody is going to be giving a gift of themselves. So it'll be a gift of music. That's all I'll say. It'll be a gift of music next Sunday. Well, I've been trying to get a couple of people, I won't mention names, but they're sons of mine, to sing a trio, you know, sing a trio of a Christmas hymn. And I have been getting great pushback. and I finally found the key this morning. Somebody mentioned, it's really not the song. It's not standing up and singing. It's singing with you. And so they have this incorrect notion around the house that I can't stay on key. Now, you know, when I was in the choir, I could sing with everybody else. But that staying on key issue evidently is something I don't do well. So I won't sing this song, but I want to read it. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name, right? You know that song. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about the name. About that name of Jesus, that is the strong name, the name that we use in our prayers, in Jesus' name. We go to the Father before the throne with boldness, in Jesus' name. So there's something about that name. We see that Luke wrote in the book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 12, that salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Salvation is found nowhere else but through Jesus and through the name of Jesus. Do you remember when you were a kid? Now, girls probably didn't do this, but boys did. We used to have little clubs, built, you know, clubhouses and so forth. And if you really got sophisticated, you had a password.
Tuscarora,
or whatever the password might be. You know. And you had to have the special word. Now, I could go to speakeasies, you know, it's the same principle, but I won't. But there is a special pass. These days, to get into buildings, you have to have a pass. What do you have? You have a card to swipe, a number to punch in. You can't even get in the door these days without having this password. Well, have you ever thought that we don't approach the Father without the name of Jesus? The name of Jesus is what we need to approach the Father. And we must have that name to come into His presence. So here we have, His name will be Jesus. And the fourth thing is, His name, He is great. Now, we use the word great all the time. You know, that was a great meal. That was great this, great that. Well, you know, in Scripture, somebody approached Jesus and they called Him Good Master. And He said, why do you call Me good? And they had that discussion there. After God created the earth and He created things, He looked at it and the Bible says it was what?
Good.
So it's an interesting thing that the word good is used as a pretty high standard, and yet we throw around the word great all the time. But the Scripture talks about how great His name is, exceedingly extraordinary, splendid. Goes back to Psalm 47:2, how awesome is the Lord Most High, the great King over all the earth. Now think through that. God creates the world, and He says, it's good. Starts talking about the King of Kings, and He's great. That's an interesting description, and probably one that we throw around too much, but, you know, we just do in our language. But it is great when you think about the name of Jesus. John Piper said this, if you took all the greatest thinkers of the country, of every century, and put them in the room with Jesus, they would sit with their mouths shut to listen to His pearls of great wisdom. All generals would listen to His strategy. All the greatest musicians would listen to His music theory and His performance on every instrument. There's nothing that Jesus cannot do 1,000 times better than the person you admire most in any area of human endeavor under the sun. Jesus was, is, and will always be great. I start thinking about that. You know, he was great in His love, great in His compassion, great in His sacrifice. He lived a great life. He taught great parables, gave great sermons. I mean, you know, we still tear Him apart today. You know, he healed with great power. He set a great example. He died a great death and had a great resurrection power when He was raised. He went and gave us the Great Commission. He ascended to a great height. He will come again in great glory. And He longs to make, catch this, great changes in your life. His name is great. The fifth assertion about the fifth thing, the gift given to Mary, was He was not only a child, which a mother wants, or a mother to be, or a wife wants a child. He was a male child. He got to wear the name Jeshua or Jesus. He is also great. But number five, He will be called the Son of the Most High. Now that's interesting. Here's Mary married to Joseph. But Mary, let me tell you, your son is not going to be the son of Joseph. He's the Son of the Most High. In Matthew 3:17, we read, "This is my son, whom I love, and with him I am well pleased." That's what the Father said about Jesus. And, you know, we don't all get to wear certain names around, certain last names, you know, carry cachet, I guess, in our world and all that kind of stuff. I might not have that. But I, too, because of my entrance into the family of God through the blood of Christ, I, too, am a son of the Most High. Number six, another gift given to Mary. His kingdom will never end. Mary's probably still trying to gulp down the fact that she's going to be pregnant. Gulp down the fact that they're going to call His name Jesus, who Himself will be the Son of the Most High. And Gabriel's not done with her yet, because in verse 33 of chapter 1, the angel says, "He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." How would you like that to be said about your child? Your child will reign forever and ever and ever. Think about that. You know, here we are. I'm 50 years old. I have a younger bride. She's not even 50 yet. She will be. Not long after the first of the year. But here we are. I will. And sometimes you think about your kids, and you look at your kids, and you think about them. How would you like for somebody to tell you that your kid is eternal, but not just eternal, your kid will reign eternally? You know, we all strive to help our children go places, don't we? You know, it might be just huge things. We want them to succeed in the small things. And we try to help our kids. We do a lot for them. And when I think about that, I think, but if somebody gave me a guarantee, "Andy, your son will not only live forever, he's going to be on top. He's going to reign. He'll be king." Now, that was another gift given to Mary. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, we see that this house of Jacob thing come together when Nathan said this: "When your days are over and you're at rest with your father, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, who will come from your own body, and I will establish his kingdom, and he is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." But Mary said, "How can this be? For I'm a virgin." And that brings me to the seventh gift given to Mary. The seventh gift given to Mary was, this child will not only be a child, be a male child, carry the name Jesus, which is big. He will not only be great, he'll be called the Son of the Most High. His kingdom will never end. But finally, Mary, he will be the Holy One. We see in verse 35, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you." Now, wouldn't that be another thing you would like to have? Your child is going to be born without a sin issue. This past Thursday, a person I know, you know, I know him well, but Stephen knows them even better. They had a baby. This family had a baby, and they've been expecting, and they had to rush the delivery Thursday, a cesarean section delivery. You know, that she was high blood pressure and so forth, due in a week or so. So it wasn't real early, but they had to, you know, get the baby, and everybody's fine. But in talking about that, we were talking about how that the good news is you had a baby. The bad news is your baby was born into as a sinful creature. And you know, you think about that. But here was Mary. He said, "Mary, you know, your son will be born and he will be holy. He'll be untouched from sin. Wouldn't that be a treat as a mother to hear that news? So he was a man to be born, as we see in verse 35. He was sinless, he was the Holy One, and he was of God. He was of the offspring of God. Now you may be facing something today, an impossible situation. You may be faced with a pile of debt, or maybe you are worried about a child or a parent. Maybe you have need the courage to face some trial of life. You're just overwhelmed. And I want to tell you that nothing is impossible with God. As we see with Mary, what happened to her, and we see the promises given in Luke chapter 1, those same things can happen to you as well. So this child that was going to be born, Mary, she did this great song that our Mary Catherine, read last week. And I think about this, how that Mary, the mother of Jesus, followed the Lord, did what He asked. And she said, whatever you do, whatever you say, I'll do. Wherever you lead, I will follow. Well, you won't see all those words in there, but you get the gist. It reminds me of the relationship between Ruth and Naomi. Wherever you go, I go. Wherever you lie, I will lie. Your God will be my God. And that was the attitude that Mary had. She had this attitude. And knowing that nothing is impossible with God should give us great pleasure at this time of the year. Thinking about gifts. I'm telling you, I got gifts. I get Christmas gifts that I've had for years and years. And some I don't have long because they wear out. You know, you get stuff and it wears out. You get a new car and it's nice for a while. And then you have a bump and it wears out. You know how that goes. I was looking in my closet the other day, and I said, Christy, I said, it just snuck up on me. So much of my clothes are just out of style. And she said, well, you know, and she said, her encouragement was, be who you are, you know, just be out of style. You know, I said, I guess I will, because I'm not going to go buy a bunch of new clothes. I've got ties. I don't wear ties much anymore. I got ties this wide, and I got ties this skinny, and I'm not sure which to wear, you know. I just don't wear any. I solved that problem. But you know how things change. But the gift of God doesn't change. It doesn't go away. It's permanent, and it is the perfect gift. But Mary gave a gift to the Lord. So God gave seven gifts to Mary, but Mary gave the Lord her life. Here's my life. Take it. Take my life, and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days. Let them be filled with endless praise. Great, great words there. She gave voluntary servanthood. A submissive obedience. Because in verse 38, she said this. And by the way, we're talking about a teenager somewhere between 14 and 17, as we mentioned. She said this, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. So let it be. So let it be. I am your servant. So I think about shopping. And I'd like for two of you to look up two pieces of scripture. Number one is in 2 Corinthians 9:15. 2 Corinthians 9:15. The other is in James 1:17. And when I think about shopping, I think about picking out what we should pick out and what people should pick out for us. So does someone have 2 Corinthians 9:15? Anybody have that yet? Or somebody working on it? 2 Corinthians 9:15, it is a verse that is just slotted in there, and it's very powerful. Bertie, do you have that? You all right?
Thanks be to God for His inexpressible gift.
Yes. Now that's interesting. Thanks be to God for His inexpressible gift. I can't describe the gift. I can't describe the gift. What is the gift? The gift is not just Jesus coming, it's the salvation He gives. Furthermore, it is the gift of the filling of the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to be just God saving you, I'm going to be God in you. As Tracy mentioned a minute ago, the word God with us is not just a tagline, it's not just God beside us, it's God in us. The with does not mean, you know, like, Christy and I are going to go together to go eat at the catfish dinner, at catfish place. So we get in the car together and we're side by side, even though we're as close as can be. We're still side by side. This is God in us. And this is a great gift. The second verse, James 1:17. Does somebody have that? Would you read it, please?
Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the
coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow.
So not only is God a giver, I mean, he's a big giver. The gifts are perfect. They're good gifts. I mean, take the time today to look at the gifts around us. Take the time when you take a drink of water or whatever you drink. Lord, this is a great gift you've given to me. The view that you have, the warmness or the coolness, whatever we have, Lord, these great gifts you have given to us. One time Bob Hope was, he was talking. He said, today my heart beat 103,000 times. My blood traveled 168 million miles. I breathed somewhere around 24,000 times. I've inhaled 438 cubits of air and went on and on. And finally he said, no wonder I'm tired all the time. And you think about how your body does. Think about a little bit that you have everything in a square inch of skin. You have something like 20 blood vessels and 67 nerve endings. And you have all these sensors for heat. You have sweat glands. You have somewhere around 19 million cells in that little inch of skin. I think about how that, I look at my brain. Now, some of our brains might be different than others. Brain weighs about 3 pounds, but can store 100 trillion bits of information. Now, some of us aren't using it to full capacity. What do they say you use? I mean, how much you do? Yeah, you use about 20%. You use so little of that. And over the course of many years, you store things in your brain. You have the capacity to store somewhere around 500,000 sets of Encyclopedia Britannica worth of information in your brain. Now, you might say, my goodness, I can't remember what I came in when I went to the grocery store. I get the recall and all. But I could go on and on about how we can see a small candle of flame miles away if we're not impeded. How we can smell something 2 rooms away. Somebody can put on perfume. You can smell it across the house. Can I smell that? Or you walk in the house, or when you wake up on Thanksgiving morning, the turkey's cooking in the oven, you can smell it. We have an incredible thing, and I want to leave you with this verse, Psalm 139:14. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. So as we thank the Lord for his gifts, let's not forget to thank him for our own lives. But let me close with this. Here's some things you look for in gifts. And see if you see how this relates. When you go shopping, you look for a personal gift, don't you? Yeah, it really does no good. It does no good for Christy to buy me a skirt, you know. That came out wrong. It does no good for her to buy that because it's not personal to me. You know, sometimes it's like the man who gets his wife, some tool that he wants for his work. You know, you get that. It is not personal for me. But when you think about a personal gift, I think about Jesus. And I think about John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever, we could put our name in there. It's a personal gift that has been given to us. Well, second thing, you want to buy practical gifts. It does no good to buy something that somebody does not have any use for whatsoever. I mean, you know, when people give me gift bags full of peanut M&Ms or whatever like that, I got a use for it. It may not be a good use, but I got a use for it, you know. But practical gifts. So when Jesus came and he gave his gift, he gave his life, and it was a personal gift, and it was practical. Because we were on the other side of the gulf from the Lord. And Jesus was able to bridge the gap and pull us unto himself. So he gave us a personal gift, and it was a practical gift. Well, another thing you look for when you look for gift, you look for a pleasing gift. You don't look to stick it to Uncle Charlie. You look to find something he's going to like. They'll really like this. Now, how many times have you gotten something, you said, this is the greatest gift in the world, and you're looking for the reaction, and you get a okay reaction. And sometimes we overexpect on that. And every time you open a gift, you can't get up and be dramatic. Wow! You know? But you look for somebody to be pleased. She'll really like this. He'll like that. So there was a perfect gift, or there was a personal gift given to us from the Lord. It was a practical gift, and it was a pleasing gift. It was not just pleasing to us, it was pleasing to His Father. It made us pleasing to the Father. And it was also a permanent gift. And when we give gifts, we can't really always give permanent gifts, but we like to give things that last. How long will this last? Oh, it may be food or something that's enjoyed for a moment and gone. But we like to give permanent things as well, or things we think will be permanent. You know, my mother, a couple of Memorial Days ago, and by the way, today is Pearl Harbor Day, if it, you know, lest we forget, you know. And she got together a lot of mementos from grandparents and so forth, and she put them in together and gave to each of the kids and gave me some. And you know, and I got the little ribbons from my grandfather from World War II, and I hadn't put them in the shadow box yet, but I want to do that. And I think about that these things are not permanent because they look like they were produced in the mid-1940s, so they show their age, but yet they've had some value of time. But that leads me to the next thing. Good gifts are purchased gifts. There was a purchase for winning the war. When I get Christy a gift, it has to be purchased. Oh, it can be made, but you still purchase it with your time. You purchase it with your efforts. When somebody makes goodies for a cookie swap or whatever, somebody's put time into that. Well, Jesus purchased the gift on Calvary's tree for us. And I think that's probably the key to the whole thing. As you look to give gifts, when you go shopping, you think, as I'm looking for this personal, practical, pleasing, permanent purchase gift, say that three times, I'm doing what God does. Because God's a big giver, and He gives good gifts. He gives big gifts. A big gift to God is not money. A big gift to God is His only Son given for you. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the time and the season. That when we give gifts, we do this in remembrance of You. As we make goodies and we share those around, we do this in remembrance of You. Let us always be givers in the likeness of You. Amen and amen.